Well, finally today, let's turn to the big one, the economy under President Donald Trump, including one of Trump's biggest accomplishments, the GOP tax plan. Here's the president in December celebrating the passage of the tax bill.
We're going to see something that's going to be very special. We're bringing the entrepreneur back into this country. We're getting rid of all the knots and all the ties, and we're going to see. You're going to see. You're going to see what happens. And ultimately, what does it mean? It means jobs, 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 jobs.
So let's talk about jobs and trade deals, unemployment and the stock market and more. What effect has President Trump actually had? Joining us in the studio is Evan Horowitz, quick study columnist for the Boston Globe. Evan, it's good to see you.
Oh, it's great to be here, Magna.
Also with us from WETA in Arlington, Virginia, is Brian Riedel. He's a senior fellow at the conservative think tank, the Manhattan Institute. Brian, it's great to have you as well.
Glad to be here.
So first question to both of you, and Evan, I'll start with you. The economy is always something that when things are going well, presidents love to take credit for. But can any president, Trump or anyone, take credit for how the economy is doing in their first year? Evan.
I wouldn't rule it out. There are certain aspects of the economy that Trump might well take credit for. It does seem like the tax cuts are going to very quickly boost corporate profits. So if profits go up, you could quickly take credit for that. But a lot of this thing, no, it's inherited. The decline of unemployment continues under his watch. The stagnation of wages more or less continues under his watch. So a lot of it is inherited. But it's not as if presidents can't affect the economy. They could. It's just that in this case, there doesn't seem to have been a fundamental shift in most major indicators.
Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, the president and Congress often get too much credit for the economy in general. There haven't been a lot of major policy shifts this year that would explain economic movements. We've had some deregulation. We've had some pullback on trade. But at least until the tax cuts, there weren't a lot of policy shifts. Some would say on the free market side that, frankly, staying out of the way is one of the best things a president can do to let the economy run. But there haven't been a lot of major earthquake policy shifts, at least until the tax cuts.
Okay. So, Brian, by the way, I should note that you served as director of budget and spending policy when Marco Rubio was running for president, and you were the lead architect of the 10-year deficit reduction plan that Mitt Romney put forth in his presidential campaign. So just your quick thoughts on the deficit side of things with the tax plan, because the tax plan, again, it's celebrated amongst the GOP and the president as one of his biggest accomplishments of the first year.
Yeah, I would say the tax plan represents good economic policy and delusional budget policy. For the economy, I think it'll help. It puts our corporate tax code in line with the rest of the world. But in terms of the budget, we already had a $10 trillion deficit projected for the next decade. This bumps it up to about $12 trillion. So it's not the main driver of deficits, but when the budget's already unsustainable, even adding $1 or $2 trillion to a $10 trillion 10 years of red ink is a problem. And this puts a lot more pressure on lawmakers to have to address the deficit.
Evan, I know you're dying to jump in here.
Well, how do you not jump on the word delusional? No, you can't disagree with this. $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there. Ultimately, it adds up. What were you going to say?
I was just looking at you, and because I think Brian and you, the reason why this is an important point is because we're talking about concrete impacts. Now, we can't fully measure the concrete impact of a $1 trillion addition to the deficit today, but it's likely to have some impact going forward. So maybe this is a question I got to wait to come back and ask both of you in a couple of years.
Well, the projections, here's the problem. Ultimately, when you have bigger deficits, it gets more expensive for companies to borrow money. So you have this sort of crowding out effect, as it's called. But this is down the road. This is one of the reasons why the projected impact of the tax cuts is mostly positive in the early years and then increasingly either nugatory or negative in the out years, because it's expected that with increasing deficits, it's going to get harder for companies to borrow money, which makes it harder to make important investments, which reduces productivity. And that just cuts back on whatever benefits you get. Yeah. So you might have to wait a while, but you can look at the projections and they're not rosy.
All right. So let's talk about jobs here a little bit, because this is a nice jump from the tax plan to jobs, because Apple has said that it's going to create 20,000 jobs in the United States, open a new business campus. They're going to repatriate their offshore cash, vast amounts of it. They're going to pay $38 billion $1 trillion in taxes because of that. And, you know, when it comes to jobs, the president has talked a lot about it over the past year. Remember, he went and visited Carrier and said that they were going to keep jobs here. And last November, he announced that the semiconductor company Broadcom Limited, was moving its headquarters from Singapore back to the United States.
Jobs have been offshored to so many countries that we're now coming back, and now those jobs and those companies are coming back to our great American home.
Well, Brian, the economy did add more than 2 million jobs in the president's first year. That's fairly close to the number that were added in President Obama's final year. So, again, is that more of just riding the trend?
Well, the economic expansion is continuing. It hasn't been a very good economic expansion for the last 10 years, but it will take it because we've gone about 8 years since a recession. 2 million jobs is actually pretty good at this stage of an expansion because you get to a certain point where you almost run out of unemployed people. When President Trump took office, the unemployment rate was 4.8%. Right now it's 4.1%, which by economist standards is full employment. And so overall, again, you get to a point where there aren't as many unemployed people. What that means is I don't think we're going to see a huge gain in jobs if the tax plan is successful. What we will see is wages hopefully start to rise, because what happens is when you max out on jobs, that puts pressure on employers to raise wages to compete for workers. So hopefully, if the tax plan works as advertised, we'll see some wage gains.
Evan, you agree?
I agree that if the tax plan works as advertised, that would happen. I'm skeptical, but hope it would be wonderful. I mean, I think one thing that President Trump can legitimately claim is to have made corporate PR announcements great again. This is part of what we've been seeing. Oh, we've got a big bonus. Oh, we're going to raise wages. Oh, we're building a new facility. Jump, jump, jump. But when you pull back and look at the numbers, these things don't seem to be adding up to trends. So far, there has not been an uptick in wages. So far, now it's very early for this.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, no, the wages you get on a weekly basis, right? You could already start seeing increases in wages. But anyway, you get wages pretty often.
Walmart said it's going to increase wages, right?
It's not that there aren't companies who are increasing wages. It's that there are always companies increasing wages. And what you need to see is wages never go down in a nominal way, right? So there's always people increasing wages. And what you need to see is this company and that company and hundreds and thousands of companies adding up. And when we look at the big picture, no, there hasn't been a change in wages yet. And there doesn't seem yet to be a change in business investment either. So we should see that within a period of months. So the deficit thing, we may have to wait years to figure out the deficit impact. But the wage impact, we should see within the next 6 months, 12 months.
Okay.
I don't agree with that.
Oh. Go ahead, Brian.
For the most part, the way the tax cuts are supposed to work through the economy is they're supposed to encourage business investment, which is set to raise productivity, which in turn raises wages. I think the bonuses right now, you're right, that's not really part of what we would have expected. But the way these tax cuts are designed to work through the economy is supposed to take a few years to be channeled through business investment and productivity. I would wait until then.
Well, so, I mean, point taken, but one way which we do see the business investment happening is through, you know, investing in stock buybacks or dividends. I mean, I think there's been some pretty good analysis that's one of the immediate things that happens, which doesn't necessarily translate at all into wage gains.
Well, even the stock buybacks, I mean, the money doesn't disappear into a black hole. That's money that's rechanneled into new investments. Stock buybacks always happen early when companies get a windfall, but eventually that money channels back into an investment. And so I'm not concerned about that. I think, you know, we'll have to wait a few years to see if we really get that jump in business investment and productivity that we really need to give people the wage increases we want.
Mm. Well, we're running out of time here. We didn't even get a chance to talk about one of the president's favorite topics, which is the stock market, which is currently just above 26,000, I'm looking at. But the economy is one of the biggest features that's in any State of the Union address, right? Because it's so central to American life. So, Evan, you got 30 seconds here. I mean, what do you think the president might say? What do you think he should say tonight?
Well, I think he's going to talk about the things that make him look good. This is not about Trump. This is what presidents do in a State of the Union. So you'll hear about the good economic stories. You'll hear about the stock market. You'll hear about jobs. I think it'll be interesting to see to the extent to which he talks about those aspects of his presidency that were supposed to be central but that haven't yet been central, like trade policy, right? The trade deficit is still growing despite big promises to cut back.
Well, Brian, you got 10 seconds to give us your final thought.
I think the State of the Unions are as much about bragging, and President Trump is going to take credit for any economic news, whether he caused it or not.
Well, Brian Riedel, senior fellow at the conservative think tank, the Manhattan Institute, it's been great to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Evan Horowitz, quick study columnist for the Boston Globe. He joins us regularly on Radio Boston to talk about great data, making data great again also. Why not? Let's make that another.
Anything we can make great again.
Evan, it's always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to be here, Magna.
That's it for today. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.